Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. After a series of drone and missile attacks on Western shipping in the Red Sea, the West strikes back at Yemen's Houthi rebels.
These were joint strikes by the U.S. and the U.K., but there were a number of other nations that are assisting, including Canada and Australia.
CBS's Nancy Cordes. In Texas, standoff between state and federal agents at a crossing point for migrants entering the U.S. illegally. Chris Fox has that.
The Texas National Guard seized Shelby Park on the Texas-Mexico border, preventing U.S. Border Patrol from entering the area. Governor Greg Abbott using an emergency declaration to take full control of the 47-acre park. U.S. Border Patrol had been using it as a migrant holding area.
The feds want to process the migrants. Abbott's been bussing them to Democrat-controlled cities. After closing arguments in Donald Trump's New York fraud trial,
I'm extremely proud of the case that we put on.
New York Attorney General Letitia James, in a courtroom outburst, the former president said the only fraud was being committed against him in the trial. CBS News Brief. I'm Vicki Barker.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A task force created last summer is introducing 11 bills to fight human trafficking in Wisconsin. State Representative Jody Emerson is a co-chair of the Assembly Speaker's panel with a message for human trafficking victims.
The crime that you were a victim of does not define your life. It is one short chapter in the story that is you. And I think it is our job to make sure that we have the tools available to get them to a better and whole life.
It's not clear if any of the proposals will pass soon, since the current legislative session ends in a few weeks. More people in Wisconsin are enrolled in Medicare and Medicaid than ever before, more than 250,000 as of December 23rd. That's according to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The previous record was reached in 2017. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks blow out the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 135-102 win over the Celtics at five-serve form. It got so bad for Boston, they benched all of their starters in the second half. The Bucks bouncing back after losing to the Jazz. Adrian Griffin.
You know, I thought we learned from the Utah game. You know, you learn from every game. And I know some people think it's like cliche, but the only thing you can do is find ways to get better.
NFL, the Packers headed tomorrow to Dallas to play the Cowboys Sunday at 3:30 in the wild card game. Jordan Love named NFC Offensive Player of the Week for a second time in a row. The last Packer to do that, receiver Don Beebe in 1996 when they won the Super Bowl. And after 24 years, the New England Patriots looking for a new head coach.
I'll always be a Patriot. I look forward to coming back here. But at this time, you know, we're gonna move on.
That's now former head coach Bill Belichick with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We have a winter storm warning that's in effect today, tonight, into Saturday. We're going to get 6 to 10 inches of snow with 30 to 40 mile per hour wind gusts that will create blowing snow later today, tonight, and right on through Saturday and even beyond. After that, dangerous cold by later this weekend. Stay tuned for updates on this winter storm. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Apparel.com.
From her mouth to the field's ears, this is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Boy, this morning it really doesn't matter where you're listening in the state of Wisconsin. Weather is on your mind. Welcome to a Friday. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke. So glad you can join me. Hopefully you are warm and safe right now, because I'll tell you what, this weather is going to be contentious all day today and right on into Saturday. It's not a matter of if you're going to get snow. The difference maker is how much snow are you going to get. So for most of the state of Wisconsin, starting this morning, we are going to be under a winter storm warning. That means for folks in western Wisconsin, they could reach anywhere from 10 to 15 inches of snow before everything is said and done. The Madison area, they're calling for 7 to 12. If you get up by Green Bay and down the Fox Valley, they're calling for blizzard warnings, and they expect up to 15 inches of snow. Part of the problem with this snow coming in isn't just the volume. It's going to be the fact that we are going to have strong winds that are going to be gusting it around. 35 miles plus are what they're projecting for the entire state of Wisconsin. Now, it might start this morning, take a little bit of a break, and then resume this afternoon. We'll get more details on that timing when Stumacher, ag meteorologist, joins us in just a moment. But the bottom line is you need to exercise caution today. So, coming up later this morning, we introduce you to another one of our century sesquicentennial farms across the state of Wisconsin. And we're taking a closer look at some of the business that's being handled down at the State House.
Incoming! Don't worry, it's not raining elephants. That's just the sound of Dairyland Seed delivering our strongest silage lineup ever. Again, get ready for even better trait quality, even greater tonnage potential, and even more milk per acre. See how Dairyland Seed silage outperformed the competition in your area at showmethesilageyield.com. That's showmethesilageyield.com.
Charlene Sweetland, the 2023 Wisconsin Fairs of the Fairs, has officially wrapped up her year after traveling just over 30,000 miles across the state. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and Sweetland reflects back on what this past year has meant to her.
This past year has meant the absolute most to me. From the bottom of my heart, I have had the time of my life advocating for the very thing that I love the most, which is the fair industry. From county fairs to district fairs and the Wisconsin State Fair, there's nothing else that I would truly, truly have wanted to do.
What are some of your highlights and favorite memories from this past year?
Well, as I just said in my finals banquet speech, the number one highlight of the year was asking everyone throughout the fair industry what their why was within the fair, and learning everyone's why and their different perspectives throughout the fair truly added that much more to my reason for choosing the fair.
And take me through, what was some of the why behind Wisconsin's fair industry?
A lot of it was celebrating Wisconsin agriculture through Wisconsin's fairs, and then of course friendships that are made at the fair. And for people who dreamed big as a kid and continued to pursue those dreams into adulthood.
And what are some of your maybe funny memories that will stick with you throughout this year, or maybe embarrassing moments that now you can look back and laugh at now that you are done? Take me through some of those really big highlights for you.
So back to the Wisconsin State Fair, I was helping out with the milking demo, and we were actually doing a cow milking demo, and I had announced that it was a goat milking demo, and all the kids were very confused, and they looked at me and they were like, Miss Princess, because that's how kids refer to the fairest of the fairs. That is not a goat. That's a cow. And I looked back and I was like, you're very right. That is a cow. So I guess ultimately, like, there are hilarious moments and there are oopsies along the way, but it's truly what you make of it.
And just how much did you travel in this past year? Maybe how many miles, how many fairs did you attend? Just really, how many people were you able to reach?
I reached just about everyone that I could in the state of Wisconsin. I traveled almost 40,000 miles, just a little over 30,000. So that's including a little over 60 fairs, including the Wisconsin State Fair.
What is next for you now? What are your future career plans?
So currently right now I am working at Mid-State Equipment as a marketing coordinator, and I do have something up my sleeve, so I hope everyone stays tuned for the months to come because I'm really excited for what is to come and for everyone to see what's to come.
And what advice would you give to the newly crowned Wisconsin Ferris of the Fairs for her year ahead? Maybe it's something that somebody told you throughout your year, maybe something you wish you would have known, or just something that you want her to take with her throughout her year to really make it the best possible.
So my biggest piece of advice would be to make the most of it. I mean, the year truly is what you make of it, and if you make the most of it, you're going to have the most incredible year of your life, a truly once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
And this past year wouldn't have been possible without some incredible support system behind you. Take me through, who are some of those support systems that helped got you to where you are today?
Now, this really pulls on the heartstrings, but it all goes back to the Greene County Fair and the amazing support that they have offered me since I was just a young kid, showing throughout the Greene County Fair and then the Wisconsin State Fair, and of course the many individuals that I have had the chance to meet along the way, because they have encouraged me in ways that some don't even know.
And lastly, what do fairs really mean to you, and how do you plan to continue to stay involved with whether that's a state fair or your Greene County Fair?
To me, fairs are a place that I call home. No matter what fair I've attended, whether it's a county fair, a district fair, or the state fair, they truly are a place I call home. And moving forward, I have already started a Greene County Junior Fair Board committee, which was one of my goals last year. And I'm excited to give back to the youth and the community of Greene County, and especially that fair in general.
Sweetland says she's excited to see how the new Ferris of the Fairs grows in her year ahead. The 2024 Wisconsin Ferris of the Fairs was selected out of a group of 35 talented individuals, and she is Kelsey Henderson from the Racine County Fair. She tells me that her passion for agriculture stems from growing up on her family's farm and showing livestock.
It is an extreme honor. It is so amazing to represent my county fair, the Racine County Fair, along with all the other great counties Wisconsin has to offer. I'm extremely excited to represent Wisconsin State Fair and be the 2024 Wisconsin Fairs to the Fairs.
Now, tell us a little bit about yourself and how your passion for the fair industry began.
That's an easy one. Agriculture, I always say, is my past, it's my present, and it's my future. I was really fortunate to grow up on my family's farm in Racine County, along with really actively show livestock and be involved at the fair. So it's simple to say, it ran in the family and off I went. Through organizations like 4-H and FFA, I was truly able to find my own path in agriculture, which led me to where I currently am. I currently attend Iowa State University, where I'm a senior majoring in agricultural business. At Iowa State, I love to stay involved and do many great things within the community and within my college as well.
What made you decide to run for the Racine County Ferris of the Fair? Maybe what did you implement at your fair as Ferris to really help connect people to agriculture?
When I got the opportunity to run for the Racine County Ferris of the Fair, it was an easy yes, as I absolutely love the Racine County Fair. I truly believe that Racine County and the fair specifically made me who I am today. I've never missed a day of the Racine County Fair, and I'm thankful for all that has given me and to leading me to this point in my life. As the Racine County Ferris of the Fair, I was able to implement many things, along with interact with so many great people. One of my highlights of my year was our social media platform. I took the goal to truly show what the fair means and the behind the scenes so that everyone can get an inside scoop and then bring them to the fair to show what it's all about.
It obviously takes a good support system behind you to get you to where you are, to be able to accomplish all of these things. So take me through, who really helped you prepare to become the Wisconsin Ferris of the Fairs, and how did you just prepare for this few days of grueling process of interviewing?
The list of people is super, super long. I would definitely have to say my family and friends are super supportive, and all my other loved ones. They always encourage me to follow my dreams, and I think that's the biggest inspiration as you go into a contest like this. Beyond that, Racine County Fair Board and the Racine County Fairs Committee and fair coordinators have been amazing and are top notch. I truly feel so fortunate to have the opportunity to work with them, and they have taught me so much. Coming into this competition, I wasn't sure exactly what it would hold, but knew if I kept a positive attitude and was kind to everyone that it would pay off.
What is something you learned about yourself throughout these past few days here at the competition?
That's a hard one. I think I learned so many things about myself and fairs and the agricultural industry within the last couple days. I've always had a passion for my fair and the fair industry and agriculture and the Wisconsin State Fair growing up showing there, but I never realized how much I just love Wisconsin and all the counties that it has to offer.
And throughout these days, you got a chance to interact with a lot of other women from throughout the state who are also fairs for their county. What is something you maybe learned from them that you hope to carry through as Wisconsin Fairs to the Fairs?
It was truly an inspirational week, and it was because of all the other contestants. They were an amazing group of girls, and I feel so fortunate to have been able to meet and get to know each and every one of them. I love the opportunity, and I hope I can continue to inspire others like they have inspired me this week.
And during your intro, you kept highlighting the number four. Take me through, why is the number four so significant to you?
The number four is so significant to me because of the things I mentioned in my intro. I come from a family of four with one sister, my mom, and my dad, which is truly special. I'm the fourth generation to show livestock, which I think is super cool and shows my passion for the livestock industry. And even better, it's from fourth generation at the Racine County Fair. So it's super cool how our family heritage goes back in there. I also mentioned 4-H and FFA because they truly helped me pave my own path in the industry rather than just being part of the family, which I really loved. And then I'm also in my fourth year at Iowa State. So that's kind of the final wrap up of the fours.
What is your main goal for the year ahead? Something you want to accomplish?
Something I really want to accomplish this year is to really showcase the fair industry and what makes each county fair unique. I plan to advocate for the Wisconsin State Fair, but also all the amazing counties that also happen around the state.
Is there any ideas or things you want to enhance that are already in place within the program that you want to see carried further?
The first would be Ag in the Classroom opportunities. I would love to get in front of youth and show them what the fair can do for them, whether it's just coming a day or two or joining a 4-H and FFA club, but making that easily accessible for them to learn and grow within the fair industry, just like I have. I also talked about social media, and this is something that was super successful at the county level that I would love to implement in many videos behind the scenes to truly give a glimpse of what goes on in the fair industry.
And what does the fair and agriculture industry really mean to you?
It means so much to me. Agriculture and the fair are truly my world. And like I said earlier, it's my past, present, and future. And I'm proud to be part of an industry that feeds, clothes, houses, and runs the world.
And how do you plan to help encourage more youth to be involved in fairs and really bridge that gap between producers and consumers now moving forward, or maybe even the different ways that they can be involved?
I think the main piece is education, whether it's educating both producers and consumers about what's going on within the industries. I think that's a main key, but also just that face-to-face interaction. I think making it personable and showing them what it can do for you is a great opportunity to get them involved themselves.
That was Kelsey Henderson, the newly selected 2024 Wisconsin Fairs of the Fairs. Henderson will serve a one-year term, and her responsibilities include appearances at fairs and events throughout the state, working with media, and promoting the importance of Wisconsin fairs. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Design, create, actuate.
Rough hands, dirty boots, and farming roots. It's all we know. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, life is going to get a little bit more rough around the state of Wisconsin thanks to Mother Nature. Let's talk about it. Time for our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Friday that may be calm right now, Stu Mock, but boy, there is a storm of brewing out there, huh?
There is one of those, Pam, and it's going to get kind of less than wonderful. How about that? Because not only do we have a lot of snow in the picture, but the winds are going to be strong. I mean, wind gusts today and strong is probably just after sundown tonight. Wind gusts 35 to 40 miles per hour. Add new snow to that. That's a blizzard. That's snow blowing out of control. We aren't going to be able to deal with a lot of it. Cleanup is going to become quite the deal into Saturday, but there'll still be some snow falling. And in fact, that snow will fall right on through today. Low pressure is still down around Missouri and is going to move east and northeast up toward the southern tip of Lake Michigan by late today into lower Michigan into the day tomorrow. The radar indicating snow. Now, most of it still fairly light across all of southern Wisconsin, just not quite to Oshkosh or into the Fox Valley, but everywhere else and right up into western Wisconsin as well. Still a little south of Eau Claire, but that snow extends back into Minnesota, Iowa. There's rain in central Illinois and Indiana, heavy rain and moderate snow up toward Chicago, and even now just starting to push into southeast Wisconsin. So expect the snow that will intensify today with those strong winds. And snow amounts pretty easily today all across southern Wisconsin. And I'd say La Crosse right over to the Fox Valley. We're probably talking some 4 to 8 inch accumulations today. Then add the wind to that and then a few more inches of possibility overnight or lingering into Saturday. That's why the winter storm warning is in effect already in the west. Goes into effect at 6 this morning. The winter storm warning in effect until noon Saturday. The conditions aren't just magically going to improve, and there's going to be all kinds of cleanup Saturday. Colder air settles in behind all of this as well. That's the one to watch. I expect single-digit highs already on Sunday, and any breeze with that means very chilly conditions in store. I'll have forecast details right after this.
What does supporting rural communities look like? At Compure Financial, we believe it starts with giving back. That's why we are here, with grants that invest in the communities we serve to help beginning farmers, fund agricultural education, support first responders, stimulate economic growth, and partner with causes that matter to our clients. Visit Compure.com to learn more. Compure Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
Keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual Insurance, the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin, is here for you even when the weather isn't. With crop hail damage, protect your operation from hail, fire, lightning, and more. Visit ruralmutual.com/farm.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Boy, Stu, this storm really worries me, not only for, you know, the average Joe, but our elderly and our farmers. Think about all those calf hutches, all those animals that are outdoors. This is going to be downright dangerous for everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be really rough, and I guess the wind, a real big factor. Yeah, a lot of snow, that's a big inconvenience, but when you add that wind to it, it just becomes a real big problem. Our Compure Financial Ag Weather Forecast, including that winter storm warning through noon tomorrow. Cloudy snow that could be heavy at times today, blowing snow a bit later in the day. Temps are probably going to be up to around freezing or just above 33, maybe a 34. Northeast winds 15 to 25, gusting to 35, even more in central Wisconsin later today. A good 4 to 8 inches of snow today. Cloudy, windy, snow, blowing snow overnight. temps only dropping back to about 20 or so, and the northeast winds become northwest late tonight, 10 to 20 gusting to 30, several more inches of snow, another 2 to 4 inches falling, and by Saturday, cloudy, snow starting to taper off, maybe another inch in the day, the blowing and the like, the bigger factor on Saturday, as temps only make their way to the mid-20s and then fall, getting colder in the day, west winds gusting to 30. How about that? A little sunshine Sunday, but just above zero, 2 or 3 degrees with a west wind, Pam. It's going to feel pretty cold by Monday.
But I might be able to scratch and claw my way back to the office by then, huh?
By that time, I bet you will, unless Buck doesn't get the driveway cleared.
he'll be on the task. All right, buddy. Take care of yourself. We'll catch up with you on Monday.
All right. See you then.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with that very severe weather situation around Wisconsin, brought to you courtesy of Compeer Financial, your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit Compeer.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers, we need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at PeaceCorps.gov.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org. Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
CBS News Brief. After a series of drone and missile attacks on Western shipping in the Red Sea, the West strikes back at Yemen's Houthi rebels.
These were joint strikes by the U.S. and the U.K., but there were a number of other nations that are assisting, including Canada and Australia.
CBS's Nancy Cordes. In Texas, standoff between state and federal agents at a crossing point for migrants entering the U.S. illegally. Chris Fox has that.
The Texas National Guard seized Shelby Park on the Texas-Mexico border, preventing U.S. Border Patrol from entering the area. Governor Greg Abbott using an emergency declaration to take full control of the 47-acre park. U.S. Border Patrol had been using it as a migrant holding area.
The feds want to process the migrants. Abbott's been bussing them to Democrat-controlled cities. After closing arguments in Donald Trump's New York fraud trial,
I'm extremely proud of the case that we put on.
New York Attorney General Letitia James in a courtroom outburst. The former president said the only fraud was being committed against him in the trial. CBS News Brief. I'm Vicki Barker.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A task force created last summer is introducing 11 bills to fight human trafficking in Wisconsin. State Representative Jody Emerson is a co-chair of the Assembly Speaker's panel with a message for human trafficking victims.
The crime that you were a victim of does not define your life. It is one short chapter in the story that is you. And I think it is our job to make sure that we have the tools available to get them to a better and whole life.
It's not clear if any of the proposals will pass soon, since the current legislative session ends in a few weeks. More people in Wisconsin are enrolled in Medicare and Medicaid than ever before, more than 250,000 as of December 23rd. That's according to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The previous record was reached in 2017. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks blow out the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 135-102 win over the Celtics at Five Serve Forum. It got so bad for Boston, they benched all of their starters in the second half. The Bucks bouncing back after losing to the Jazz. Adrian Griffin.
You know, I thought we learned from the Utah game. You know, you learn from every game. And I know some people think it's like cliche, but the only thing you can do is find ways to get better.
NFL, the Packers headed tomorrow to Dallas to play the Cowboys Sunday at 3:30 in the wild card game. Jordan Love named NFC Offensive Player of the Week for a second time in a row. The last Packer to do that, receiver Don Beebe in 1996 when they won the Super Bowl. And after 24 years, the New England Patriots looking for a new head coach.
I'll always be a Patriot. I look forward to coming back here. But at this time, you know, we're gonna move on.
That's now former head coach Bill Belichick with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
We have a winter storm warning that's in effect today, tonight, into Saturday. We're going to get 6 to 10 inches of snow with 30 to 40 mile per hour wind gusts that will create blowing snow later today, tonight, and right on through Saturday and even beyond. After that, dangerous cold by later this weekend. Stay tuned for updates on this winter storm. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics.
Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Every sign was pointing to Christian Watson playing.
Because we know your barn smells like money. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Man, oh man, this weather is going to bring us some challenges when it comes to ventilation on our barns. Make sure those curtain sidewalls are taken care of. Watch out for those baby calves that are going to be out in their hutches. Man, we're looking at anywhere from 7 to 15 inches of snow they're projecting that could come out of this storm starting this morning. Then maybe taking a little bit of a break, resuming this afternoon and continuing right on into Saturday. And the temperatures are going to be nasty, primarily because of the winds, which will be gusting anywhere from 35 to 45 miles an hour. So this is a storm that we want to take seriously. If you've got to be out in it, plan in advance, protect yourself. And like we said, for our farmers that have livestock, this is going to be a long, long day just trying to take care of your responsibilities. I'm Pam Youngke, by the way. Thanks so much for joining us. Stick around. We're going to introduce you to another one of the farm families that has managed to keep their farm in the family for 100 to 150 years. Nate Zimdars has a special guest for us. Stand by for that. So today is the 12th day of January. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day, back in 1908, the first long-distance radio message broadcast from the Eiffel Tower in Paris. A scientist named Lee DeForest broadcast from the Eiffel Tower. He had an audience of 50 people, maybe as many as I've got out there this morning. That happened on this day back in 1908. On this day in 1969, Led Zeppelin released their debut album, appropriately named Led Zeppelin, one of the powerhouse bands of the 60s and the 70s. Happy birthday today to the former Mrs. Paul McCartney, Heather Mills. She's 56. And shock jock Howard Stern turned 70 today. And now you know. Did you know that we can turn plants into plastic? It's just one of the projects that's ongoing on the UW-Madison campus. Stephanie Hoff has more.
A team at UW-Madison has a plan to turn plant waste into plastic. Some of the goals are to cut greenhouse gas emissions and create economic opportunities in rural Wisconsin. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Professor Shannon Stahl joins us. He's affiliated with the Wisconsin Energy Institute. They got $4 million from the U.S. Department of Energy for this project. Shannon says they're trying to turn the plant component lignin into nylon, but they have to do it at roughly the same cost as the fossil fuel version at only a fraction of the pollution.
Essentially, the idea is that we live in an economy that is driven by petrochemicals. And so petrochemicals essentially are the source of almost all of our commodity products and personal products that we generate. And there's a longstanding interest now as we've been trying to transition from a petrochemical economy into a bioeconomy where we could use plant-based material, which is obviously renewable and takes CO2 out of the atmosphere rather than pulling it out of the ground and spewing it into the atmosphere. And so the idea is that we could help in the decarbonization effort within the chemicals industry by using plant-based feedstocks, and ultimately they would be renewable. And so the ultimate goal is to create a circular economy where you can grow new plants, use them for our materials, and then they can return in a biodegradable way to the earth. the intent here is to take things, much of the petrochemicals in the chemical industry are used to make all the polymers around us. You know, so many of our personal products, all of our components at home are made of plastics, our automobiles increasingly made of plastic-based materials. These are all coming from petrochemicals right now.
I just want to clarify, a petrochemical is essentially fossil fuel. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, it could be coal-based, it could be petroleum, so crude oil, could be natural gas. And so these are all essentially fossil reserves that have built up over millions of years. And so the idea is that we are pulling them out of the ground in a very short window of history. And now they become the materials that we use. And then they become, you know, in an energy sense, we're burning them and just generating CO2. But we also have, say, 10% of our energy actually goes into the chemicals industry. And so there's a lot of interest in decarbonizing the chemicals industry. And so this is essentially an effort to use plant-based materials both as a feedstock, but also to reduce the energy requirement to make these products. And so there's kind of a two-pronged effort related to replacing petrochemicals. The specific one in this project is a molecule called adipic acid, which is the building block that we use in nylon products. Many different types of materials use nylon. And so this is a way of using what is currently a waste plant product as a building block to create this building block for nylon materials.
But it sounds like, too, Shannon, this could be an opportunity, an economic opportunity for Wisconsin agriculture.
There is a component of this project that is basically looking at where we could site facilities to do this process in ways like there have been a lot of pulp and paper mills that have been shut down, and maybe this could be a facility that could go into some of those communities and turn into, you know, an economic benefit. Would be the ideal scenario. It's a long-term effort, to be sure, but we do have a key team member, and this is where it gets outside my domain of expertise, that's looking at kind of these economic drivers and how this could be slotted into industries that have kind of gone down over the last several decades, like the paper pulp industry, for example.
When we talk about the bioeconomy versus the petrochemical economy, who is driving that motivation to move to a bioeconomy? Is it the consumer? Is it the manufacturing industry? Or is it politics? What's putting the pressure on supporting this type of movement?
I'll share my own thoughts. You know, there's many different motivations. Obviously, there's a climate problem, right? I mean, we're experiencing all kinds of climate disasters around the world, and a lot of this is being attributed to climate change. And so there's definitely political pressure, but that comes down to the consumer. You know, the people want action somehow to start addressing this. And the question is, what tangible ways can we do so? The problem right now, it's challenging to move this forward without some sort of external motivation because it's not economically viable right now. And so we need new technologies. And part of what we're trying to do is to create those economically viable technologies that could start to compete with petrochemicals. Because, like I said, we have a century plus set of technologies and chemical plants that have been built up to use fossil fuels. The consumer is increasingly demanding action, right? I mean, you can see this manifested in things like soda bottles that are claiming to be derived from plant-based material. And so increasingly there is a consumer-based motivation, but it's, you know, the funding right now is coming from federal sources. Part of the motivation of these grants is to initiate startup companies that could start changing the way people view chemicals production. And so if those can get a toehold, that could be the basis for new economic opportunity.
Shannon Stahl along with us. He's a UW-Madison professor of chemistry who is leading this project. His team is looking at how to turn plant waste components into plastic, but they've got to do it at the same cost as petrochemicals and with less greenhouse gas emissions. As he said, this could generate agribusinesses in rural Wisconsin. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Interesting. Let's keep our fingers crossed on that. Thanks, Stephanie. Well, markets yesterday, as far as dairy were concerned, took a step back. Barrel cheese on Thursday drifted 3 cents lower to 145. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny at 155. Double A butter dropped a quarter of a cent, closed 256.5 per pound. This morning, February milk is up a penny at 1588. The March Class 3 closed 35 cents lower, 1631. Remember, today is that World Ag Supply Demand Report. Markets a little little on the quiet side in front of it. March corn's unchanged at 458. December new crop unchanged at 489. March soybeans are up 7 at 1243. November new crop up 6 right now at 1212. And new crop wheat is currently up 3 at 628 a bushel. Just around the corner, recognizing another one of our farm families that's celebrating 100 or 150 years in the same family. Nate Zimdar's on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwing created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created more than 80 years ago? It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers, we need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK. Moves like these before. Here, money grows in rows. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
We're recognizing farms and homesteads that have been in the family for more than 100 or 150 years. I'm Nate Zimdars with the Midwest Farm Report. One farm being recognized is the Tiemann Family Farm. The farm is located outside of Thorpe in Clark County. 97-year-old Arlene Tiemann shares the story of her family's century farm. Tell me about the farm. How was it acquired? How much money was it?
We got the information from Register of Deeds. It was 1910. And my grandma, how much did he pay for it then? $1,440.
And what is the name of the farm?
It was just a Tiemann farm.
And where is the farm located?
In Clark County, Wisconsin, in the town of Butler.
And where is the town of Butler, roughly?
It would be south of Thorpe. It's about 10 and a half miles south of Thorpe.
And how many generations have been on the farm?
I think it's 4 generations now. Since my son is there, it'll be 4 generations.
And how has the size or type of the farm changed over the years since it first began in 1910?
It started as like a dairy farm, and my grandpa had some cows and stuff there. But then now, since my son has it, he has beef cattle, organic. He doesn't have too many now. He used to have only about 20 of them. But I don't think, he's kind of got out of that.
And what makes the farm unique, either now or in the past from other farms in the area?
That town of Butler has not little farms, but there aren't too many of them that are raising cattle now. And I think it's one of the few people that really have cattle on them. I think there are two farms in the town of Butler. Only one now that sell milk. I think all the rest have gone to renting out their houses or something. That town of Butler is kind of go by way of nothing. And the road from 29... all the way down, it's called Tiemann Avenue, starting on Highway 29, between Thorpe and Stanley.
What were some of the big events that happened on the farm over the years? Were there any severe storms, weddings, other events that would have brought people to the farm?
The only thing would be when they had threshing or silage on that, then all the farmers came in to help. Otherwise, I don't think we had any really events.
What are some of the big technology changes that happened on the farm since it first began in 1910? Was there anything really significant that you can remember from your years on the farm?
I was born in the farmhouse there on April 30th of 1926. And then I moved up, and my dad, at that time, he was working for my grandpa. And then he bought some land, and he moved up across the road in about... not even a quarter of a mile up there. He had bought some land. So then he started farming there. So I really didn't live on that farm very long. I think I was only about a year and a half or a year old when I moved across the road. At that time, my grandpa did everything with horses. They were called June and Florrie. He used those horses for as many years as I remember, and they had little ones. I'm trying to think how he ever got a mare horse. They had only mares. I don't know how he ever got a horse to make colts. I don't remember ever having it. Then one was struck by lightning under a tree. Then she had the colt. We had to end up feeding it with a granite dish pan. Like I think my grandma used to make some kind of oatmeal or some feed and milk, and it would come to the fence, and we'd hold the thing out for the colt to eat. And even after it was so bigger, if she saw us come to the fence with that bowl, she'd come over and want to eat.
Do you have any other fond memories from your childhood growing up on the farm or even after you grew up and were still involved?
I really didn't grow up on that farm because I grew up in the farm across the way. But I can remember things like threshing. We had a steam engine came down the road, and then there was a creek for water that went across the road from where my grandpa lived and where my dad lived. And they would suck up water for that steam engine, and they'd have to put something over the end of the hole, the thing was, so they didn't get frogs in their engine. And we knew it was coming down because you could lay your head down on the ground and you could hear the rumble of that steam engine coming down the road. They went from farm to farm to thresh the grain then. And my dad was always manned the straw stack. And then other people carried the grain to the machine shed. They had bins up there. Well, they walked up the steps with those bags of grain on their backs and put it in the grain bins. And they used that then during the winter to feed their cows. I remember things in the house, the little different things. They had an incubator down there. My grandma's big go down and some chicks. But I'm trying to think how they kept that thing warm enough, the incubator, how they hatched anything. Because we had no electricity. It must have had some kind of kerosene thing or something. I don't remember. At that time, I was only about 3 or 4 years old. My grandma was a piano. Before she moved there, she had played for silent movies in Beloit. When my uncle got a car, she'd go into the town of Thorpe and she'd get some piano lessons. She played the piano. We'd hear. She and my grandpa would have an argument. She would just pound those piano keys so hard you could hear it at our house across the way.
The farm today is a beef farm, you said. How many acres are still on the farm, and what does the future look like for the farm?
Well, there's still the 80 acres. My son is there now, and I'm sure he's going to be 70 years old, so he's not going to be able to do much farming. He's going to have to sell it. There might be one of my nephews might buy the thing, because that's still be kept in the Tiemann family. Right now, he just rents some land across the way and has hay. But right now, my son doesn't know what he's going to have to sell. He doesn't know who I'm hoping it can stay in the family.
What does it mean to you and your family to be recognized as a century farm?
There are very few of the century farms around in that town of Butler, and there's many, many more in the other parts of Clark County. But I think to be damned by my grandpa recognized, because when he had cut the timber, built everything with wood from the farm. The house was built, I think, in 1917 or 18.
Is there anything else that you would like to share with Marlene about the farm?
It has changed quite a bit since then I can remember it. I left town because I went during the war, World War II. I was in the cadet nurse, and I got married and had children and stuff. So I lived in different towns because my husband was an ag teacher. So he taught in different places. We would just come there to visit. My dad bought the farm from my grandpa in 1945. He paid, what, $3,300. My dad had tractors and stuff, yeah. Because I remember things with metal wheels, but he had tractors and stuff at that time. They had rubber tires on their wet wagons, hay wagons and stuff. And I remember my grandpa just had like a sled with runners on in the wintertime to haul the manure. Nothing had wheels on. My grandpa and my dad would go other places to cut hay because they didn't have enough of hay for the winter to feed their cows. They would cut it. I really can't remember how I know they had a salad, but how much more they, I think they had outside with no covering on it. They made haystacks. I remember that. They have a separator down in the basement there, because I remember seeing that great big thing. At that time, I probably was only about 3 or 4 years old. I thought it was an incubator and a separator. That was the big things I remember. And then and a furnace down there in the basement. A door opened on the side of the house where you could throw the wood down the stairs. The door also went down the basement from the kitchen. So it's always open stairway to go upstairs. We were always afraid that we'd fall. There was no railing or anything. We were afraid you'd fall off the thing. And we had a big porches across the front and the back. By the back porch, my grandma had a washing machine there. It was wooden, like wooden thing. And we had a thing on the side where you pumped it back and forth, and that turned the thing in the middle to wash clothes. The only engine where we would go down there from our house to visit, she'd let us pump that thing back and forth to wash clothes. And when they had the threshing, she'd have this big table set up for all the threshers. Probably was 15, 20 men. And then she'd make things like apple pies and stuff like that, because they had quite an orchard. And we could go down there to watch in the evening when then she'd let us come in and we dinner like the threshers would have.
Arlene Tiemann shares the incredible history of the Tiemann family farm in Clark County. The Century and Sesquicentennial Farm Program originated as part of Wisconsin's Centennial Celebration in 1948. Each year, about 100 properties are honored. You can listen to some of these stories at MidwestFarmReport.com. These stories are brought to you courtesy of Compeer Financial. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Nate Zimdars.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
A microbial alternative to synthetic nitrogen fertilizers. Today on Farm to Fork.
With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators, and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to Right Spot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com.
Pivot Bio is on a mission to provide a better way to get nitrogen to plants. Randy Minton is head of commercial sustainability and talks about their microbial products.
Microbes that we've developed that continuously fix atmospheric nitrogen, it's applied to the root of the crop, so those microbes populate, fix nitrogen on the roots, and deliver ammonia directly into the plant. It creates a sustainability benefit in that 100% of the nitrogen that's fixed by the microbe is taken up by the crop.
Minton says 40 to 60% of the nitrogen applied to a field is lost through runoff and volatilization, neither of which helps the environment either. And he adds there are incentive programs to reduce emissions.
The entire program for us is going to be geared towards really creating value along our entire supply chain for corn, grain, sorghum, wheat, barley, whatever grain crop that we operate on from a Pivot Bio perspective. We believe that we have the capability to create really strong partnerships, really great opportunities for growers, and we want to make sure that the majority of that revenue coming from those programs flows back to the grower.
Learn more at pivotbio.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org. Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Vicki Barker. Payback time in the Red Sea.